Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and today we're going to talk about the passage of the new tax plan for 2018 and beyond. So originally I was going to entitle this podcast something like the top three surprises of the new tax plan, but I realized actually this new tax plan could really ruin the lives of many, many people. And I'm not joking around here. I firmly believe tax policy changes behavior, and the higher your taxes go, ironically, the better your life becomes. Why? Because at the margin, the less money you keep, the less motivated you'll be to work and kill yourself for money, right? And since money is the root of all evil, the less time you spend accumulating evil, the happier you will be. It is absolutely true, please trust me, folks, that money doesn't buy happiness beyond a basic income and wealth level. If you've got enough to cover your basics, take care of your family, your happiness really doesn't increase. I think that level is around maybe $100,000 for non-coastal cities and about $250,000 if you live in a city like San Francisco or New York. After that, you're not happier. You're happier when you spend more time with your friends and your family and have better health. So one of my catalysts for leaving work in 2012 was the finance industry was in a structural decline. We were working harder, but we were getting paid less. But not only that, we had a very, very progressive tax system, 39.6% federal tax rate, and then there was a newly introduced 3.8% net investment income tax, plus a 0.9% Medicare tax, an alternative minimum tax, 13% state tax, Social Security tax, sales tax, and retroactive California state taxes because we were overspending. And so instead of complaining, which I hate complaining, I just decided to take some action. I decided to negotiate my severance and make basically very little money as a writer for the first couple years. And I will promise you, I promise you that the first couple years with way less money coming into the bank account was some of my most exhilarating and happy times. Now things are better because I've grinded for, you know, almost 6 years just writing and trying to build the online business. But I gotta say, life is so much better over these past 5.5 years than any period in the past because of the focus on maximizing for freedom and not money. So for those of you who naturally like to work more when you can keep more of your money, here are three items from the new tax plan that will, I think, ruin your life if you're not careful. So surprise item number one, your 529 college savings plan can now be used for secondary education. Okay, why is this kind of terrible? Well, before, you can only use the proceeds of your 529 plan to pay for an accredited four-year university. But now, you can pay $10,000 a year towards private grade school tuition. Now, I know many, many of you are still undecided about the wisdom of spending a fortune on private school instead of just having, you know, your son or daughter go to a public school. I went to public school for high school and for college, and it worked out fine. The internet is making education and meetups free, so the value of education in general, not only private school education, has declined by definition, right? So it doesn't make any sense to spend record high levels on tuition just because you can afford to, and a lot of people who are paying these type of tuition levels can't really afford to. But the new usage rules for the 529 plan basically tips the scale in favor of sending your child to a private grade school. And what's wrong with that? Well, once you start spending $10,000 to $60,000 a year on private grade school education, expectations for your kid goes way up. And when your expectations go way up, a pressure cooker environment may develop that suffocates the joy out of everyone, your kids, you know, your siblings, everybody. I mean, think about all those stories about, you know, suicides and all that. I mean, these are all, or many of them are from kids from high-performing schools or private schools. And if your kid is especially sensitive to the plight of others, you know, he or she may feel tremendous guilt or pressure to perform. And as a consequence, they might logically choose to work in one of those soul-sucking industries like finance, like I was in, just so they can earn enough to pay you back. Or maybe just earn enough because that's what, you know, going to these kind of schools is all about, getting the most prestigious, highest paying job possible, when these industries or jobs don't do anything really to help society, right? Think about it. Now the hot sector is tech, and you know, the top companies are to work at Google or Facebook. I mean, are you really gonna go and get a fancy degree so you can sell ads to fake news creators at Facebook? I mean, that's what essentially happened, right? Or are you really going to try to get an MBA so you can go work at Google to sell text ads to just random folks? I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a really good use of your education. So by tipping the scales towards more private school, you basically enter this grind of higher and higher expectations that basically, I think, leads to a somewhat pressure cooker, miserable existence if you don't manage the situation properly. Okay, number two, miserable high income earners, we call them Henrys, high earners not rich yet, in expensive cities like New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, you name it, become even more miserable. So I know, like, look, I've been trying to highlight for fun and also for reality's sake that making a couple hundred thousand to 500,000 in expensive cities like New York and San Francisco is not super rich. Okay, 500,000 is pretty good, but like 200,000, you're not super rich. You're kind of middle class, given that the median home prices in these types of cities are like over $1.2 million. So these W-2 wage earners are just getting pounded, right? They're highly educated. They work 50 plus hours a week, sometimes 70 hours a week. You know, the public school system, unfortunately, sometimes isn't that great, so they feel like they have to send their kids to private school, and they're just not saving, and they're just miserable. They don't have any kind of light at the end of the tunnel because they're not reading Financial Samurai, they're not building any passive income, and they don't work on a side hustle business on the side to provide them an escape route when they just can't take it anymore. So the biggest surprise from the new tax plan is the capping of state income and property tax deduction to only $10,000. So originally I was thinking, okay, maybe the plan would just cap the amount of mortgage interest deduction, maybe, you know, definitely less than $1 million, maybe $750,000, $500,000. So not only did they cap it to $750,000 for mortgage interest deduction, they also capped state income tax and property tax deductions to $10,000. So all that combined in $10,000. I mean, that is nuts compared to the previous system, because if you think about it, the annual property tax bill for a $1.5 million median priced home in San Francisco or New York is about $19,300. So then you add on $16,000 a year in average state and local income taxes paid, and you're like at $35,300. So your tax bill could easily be at least $5,000 more a year. And then when you cap the mortgage interest deduction to $750,000 from $1 million, that's another like $2,000 to $3,000 tax bill. So overall, you're spending like $8,000 to $10,000 more in taxes a year while trying to survive and provide for your family in a very high cost of living city. So I firmly believe the new tax law will be the tipping point that causes a consistent net migration out of expensive coastal cities and into no state income tax states or states that have much lower costs of living. It doesn't make sense that there would be such a huge cost differential now that the world is so small thanks to technology. So I am very bullish on the heartland, middle America, and there's no reason why a city like Austin or Salt Lake City or Memphis can't be in the next San Francisco. And the final surprise of the new tax plan is that the estate tax threshold rises to $11 million for individuals and $22 million for couples. That is huge. I thought there was like no way that they would increase that. Or, I mean, just like it was already at 5.49 for individuals and $11 million for couples. And only a small minority of people get there. But now to double it, I mean, what does that mean? Well, the easiest lifetime net worth target everybody should shoot for is simply the estate tax threshold, because nobody in their right mind would try to keep any more because there's a 40% death tax rate. So when the threshold was 5.49 for an individual, it provided a high enough goal for most people to shoot for without feeling too discouraged that it was an impossible dream. And while most people never accumulate that much, they do get to a level where they can comfortably leave all their assets to their heirs tax-free. But now that we double it to $11 million, what happens? Well, there is like this crazy incentivization that the most gung-ho people have, which are many, many, many people who go to these schools, who get these jobs, who live in these cities, to try to have even more. So you can basically save $2.2 million in estate taxes if you get to $11 million before you die. That is pretty good. And that, my friends, causes people more anxiety and more stress. Because, you know, before this estate tax threshold increase, people had a belief who were cruising to $5.4 million, you know, they'd eventually get there, they were thinking. But now it's like, oh, wait a minute. Now you've got to double that, or you can double that. You might as well do it. Why leave money on the table, right? So it causes at the margin this additional anxiety, additional amount of work, an additional like investment risk you probably really don't need to take. So I went up on, you know, I went online and looked at a compound interest calculator. And here's how you can get to 11 million. You start with 100,000 in principal. And if you add 25,000 a year over 50 years and it grows at 6.5% a year, bam, you're at $11.5 million. And I bet a lot of people are going to be calculating this and figuring it out. And that's simply just going to cause more stress and work for everybody. The bottom line from this tax plan is that it keeps people in the rat race longer than they should. We know from the surveys, the data, and from personal experience that most of us are disengaged with our jobs. It's something like 70% of us aren't really engaged with our jobs. I mean, if you think about it, if you're going to spend your entire life being disengaged for 10 to 12 hours at least every single day, I mean, that's a miserable existence. And you're going to look back when you're 60, 70, 80 and wonder, what the hell did you spend all your time doing? I mean, you could have done so many other things. And I want to reiterate again that, you know, being out of the workforce for almost 6 years now, I don't regret a single day of chopping off my income at the age of 34 to be free. I really want to really emphasize that freedom and the ability to choose far outweigh trying to make an extra buck when you already have all your bases covered. By far, I get the most amount of emails from people who are doing okay at their job, but they're like, you know, I want to escape the grind, but I want to make more. I want to have at least 3 million or 5 million or whatever it is because they see other people making more. And it's just like this endless grind. Shut off your social media, turn off the TV, focus on what matters to you, and be smart about how you're going to make money. So this tax plan, I think, is good for the economy. Basically, it's going to lower costs for corporations, right? Because they're going to pay like, what, 21%? From the, well, it was like 40%, and it's going to lower the top marginal tax rate for high-income individuals. It's going to have lower pass-through income. All this stuff is good, but be smart about it. Take advantage of the tax plan by not killing yourself by working more, but by investing in businesses that benefit the most from the tax plan. In other words, invest in small businesses or, you know, publicly traded companies that you think will benefit the most. And that way, you can free up your time to do the things that really matter to you. The only people who won't be miserable under the new tax plan are those who are already rich. These are the people who are getting the most money back for just existing, even though they need the money the least. And as a result, the tax plan will make millions of regular income earners miserable due to the envy they have for those who already have the most. And if you look at the tax plan, it provides cuts for pretty much everybody, middle class, lower middle class. But if someone else is getting a bigger cut, you just don't feel good about your situation. So let me know if this new tax plan will affect your behavior going forward. Are you motivated more than ever to make more money? You know, what are some of the surprises in the new tax plan that may affect how you do things going in the future? Thanks, folks.